Welcome to the Encore Entrepreneur Show, where we break through the online noise, trends, and all those fleeting tactics to bring you business guidance that stands the test of time, has been proven to work, and gives you real-world results so that your entrepreneurial journey is as successful as possible.
We believe in building businesses from the inside out using values and validation. Learn how to put values and validation to work in your business by joining our free workshop at EncoreEmpire.com/validate.
I'm Deidre Harder, a CPA and business strategist.
And I'm Carmen Reed Gilkison, a whole person certified coach and business strategist. We're your guides on the side and hosts of the Encore Entrepreneur Show.
Let's get started. What happens when you invest in a high-ticket program and it isn't all that? Well, this has happened to us twice. Now, each program was over $15,000, so we're not talking about small change here. And what we learned is that it's easy to let your emotions lead when you're considering hiring a coach or joining a program. You know, there is a big difference between getting all emotional and getting educated, right? And we teach all the time about using marketing to get to know your audience and to let them get to know you. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the hype. And now you may want to join a program at the spur of a moment because you received a fancy, enticing email. However, it's important to consider coaches and programs as an investment and to do your due diligence before choosing one.
Yeah, and I just want to add that, you know, nobody sets out to have a bad experience, you know, and we entered both of these, and we'll tell our story here about what happened, thinking that they were the right choice for us. So the first experience happened when Encore Empire was just a few months old. And we built this company by leveraging live workshops. And so we had invested in a manual that told how to do these workshops. And we got great success from it. So we had built a business from zero to making a dozen or more sales within just a few months of high ticket programs. And we were like, man, this really works. So we thought, who better to teach us than the gal who wrote the book that we followed? And so we sought her out. We followed her like groupies for a while. We consumed all the content. We bought into everything. It all seemed good. It was super exciting because we thought, here we are, like just a doorway, like knock on the door, open the door, and there she's going to be. And she's going to be able to tell us, wow, you've done so well with just my book. I can't wait to see how far we can take you. So, you know, we were excited about it, but it turned out not to be what we thought at all. This gal was one of the big gurus in the online space. And when we got into the program, we realized, first of all, we never talked to her. And we learned that we were going to have different people assigned to us, and there are ways you could get help this way and that way, but nothing was ever about her. And it quickly became obvious that this wasn't going to be what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah. And I remember during that experience, Carmen and I have faith, right? We're like, okay, I'm sure it's going to be, you know, exactly, you know, they're going to take care of us. And even though we're not seeing her, she's going to send this person who's going to be our coach, you know, and the person that we go to, and they're going to be just as fabulous, right? Because there was all this talk about, you know, ethics and integrity and honesty, like it was all in the marketing. And not that it wasn't there, but the problem was, it was like, I felt like we were getting the intern, you know, like the person
totally were.
That was like, just came on and they didn't really know what was going on. You know, like kind of how you go, we all cringe, right? If we go to the doctor and they're like, oh, you know, this person's interning, do you mind if they come and help? You're like, I don't know about that. But that was kind of how the experience felt for me.
Well, and I felt like what we tried to do, because there was a lengthy application process, and one of the questions was, what stage of business are you? And so we said, our business is brand new, but we are not brand new to business. And we specifically laid out kind of that we were more experienced business owners, hoping that we would get someone who was a higher level. In hindsight, I think what happened was they're like, okay, they know business, so we will give them the newbie, because we for sure had the newbie. She was very nice person, but she was not the person that was going to help us. We knew more about business than she ever would. And that was frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the other part of that too, is that it was always it's kind of like when you call customer service, when you're having an issue with like, you know, your phone or, you know, a product that you have, and you know for sure they're reading from a script, right?
Yeah.
That was what it was like. It was like, okay, let me look that up and see what the answer is to your question.
Exactly.
And so, you know, one of the things we learned, we'll talk about all of what we've learned out of all of this, but I think in that particular case is, you know, we use that to we even said, Carmen and I sat and talked, we're like, okay, we're going to make sure our program is the exact opposite of that, right? Like, we just learned all the things not to do inside of our program for our client.
Exactly.
Now, the second one happened just last year. And I'll tell you, we were at our wit's end about it because, you know, we'd learned lessons from the first go around. And so we were being pretty diligent about the second one. And we discussed it. We talked about it, you know, because we were determined after that first experience, we were not going to have this happen to us again. And yet it did. And here we were. Now, this was another annual contract. And the first 4 months of this experience, they were absolutely dismal. Like, we were not getting anything. And this was a service being provided to us, not a coaching program. And so we were assigned a representative, and we kept trying to work with our representative, but it never gelled. Like, there was something just really off about the relationship. And it took us, you know, a few phone calls for us to really figure out, you know, like, what was going on. And it was like every meeting was like Groundhog Day. Like, he'd repeat the exact same things. We would send emails and saying, we are not happy with this. This is not happening like you said. This is taking longer than you said. Why are you doing this when it isn't necessary? You know, like, we were asking these questions and really communicating. And he'd get on and he would say the exact same things he said last time. And then he'd even ask, he'd say like, okay, well, let's go through who, you know, who's your ideal audience and what is your program about? And we're like, we filled out a 17-page form that gave you all of this information already. And we verbally discussed it last time. So we just weren't getting anywhere.
No, and that one, I really felt like that thing that we're talking about, the customer service agent with a script. I didn't think he could go off his script. And that was why, because it was honestly, no matter what question we sent that was different, and this was 4 months, right? This is happening over 4 months. So we'd be like, okay, well, maybe if we ask this or if we ask it this way, we were really trying. It's not like he wasn't a nice guy, but it was like we were oil and water or something. It was like we'd say something and I don't know what he was hearing, but it was just not right. And that was the most frustrating part about it, because even trying to communicate was not working. So we'd finally had enough and we sent an email to the owner of the company. And when she personally responded, I was so glad. I'm like, oh, thank goodness we're working with a company where the owner cares. Because it's not that the first situation, the owner didn't care, but she was so separated. First of all, any email I sent wouldn't go to her. I knew this owner in the second situation. I knew her email. And so I knew it was her. And she's like, oh, we want to make this right. Blah, blah, blah. She said all the right things. And then she's like, here's a link to get back on your same representative's calendar. And I thought, I'm writing you an email to tell you that this is not working with this representative. And her solution was to essentially pay lip service and say, oh, yes, I care, blah, blah, blah. And here, you can grab a time on his calendar. Well, that wasn't going to work. So I'm sure that we replied and said, that's not going to work. We need someone else. And so we finally did get someone that worked better.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, through both of these experiences, we like to always look back and debrief every situation, right? Every decision we make, every program we go through, every program we put out for our clients, everything. We like to debrief. And so we were debriefing all along the way. And so these are some common themes that both of these experiences had. And we're sharing this with you because if you've experienced anything like this, and you probably have, if you've been in this more than 5 minutes, we want you to know that you're not alone. And it happens to those of us who are experienced and who, you know, it's not our first rodeo. And also to help you maybe have a different perspective, because, you know, these situations can really wreak havoc on your mindset. Mm-hmm. And we want to learn from them, right? So that we can make an even better choice the next time. So a couple of the themes. Were that the assigned representatives were not right for us. Now, no one can know this going in from the get-go, but I personally believe that in order for that to have been a better situation, that someone, whether it's the owner, whether it is the owner's right-hand person, someone in quality control, someone should be like finding out, saying, you know, how did that meeting go? You know, do you feel like you're getting what you need? Like there, in either case, there was no one asked for our opinion at all. We had to be very vocal about it. And that's one thing to keep in mind. Like if you are working with a company where it's not the owner that you're working with and they have a team and there's nothing wrong with it, as long as the team is properly trained and they have the right kind of communication and it is a good fit for you, because if it's not a good fit, it's really never going to work. And you should be able to say so.
Yeah.
And then like Carmen mentioned a minute ago, the other situation was that in both situations, the owners of the company were separated from the process. Like I don't think they truly knew what was going on, or they didn't really know at that deep level. Now, depending on the size of the company, we all know when growth happens, you have layers in your company, right? You might be once or twice removed from your clients in certain areas, but I believe that the owner of a company should always be in touch and understand the process. And someone needs to be ensuring that that process is quality and that there aren't, you know, a bunch of unhappy people, because ultimately it will be the demise of your business.
Exactly. And I kept wondering in both cases, like, are these companies so making so much money that we're just a loss leader kind of thing? Like, do they have the ability to have unhappy clients to a certain percentage because they're just churning this process? Because in both cases, I think that was the biggest piece to me, is we felt like a number in both businesses. And here we are paying tens of thousands of dollars to each one of these companies. And to feel like that, I think that's probably one of the most frustrating and disappointing parts of it, is you feel like you should be treated to the level that you're paying. I mean, as far as we're concerned, I don't care if you opt into a free thing of ours or you're paying a client, we're going to treat you with the same respect. And it's not like people weren't respecting us, but there was a big disconnect between what they said they were going to deliver and what they delivered. So the third common theme was that we accepted the terms of the terms of the agreements without enough scrutiny or the wherewithal to send back red lines. And this one, I kicked myself so many times. I did contract review for decades in the corporate world. And redlining contracts comes almost second nature to me, which is sad to say because it's not very fun. But interestingly enough, somehow in the online space, I didn't feel empowered to do that. So that's a big mindset kerfuffle, if you want to say, because why wouldn't I feel empowered? An agreement is an agreement. And the point of agreements is to make sure that you're the person who writes the agreement is the one who has the onus. So if anything were to go to court and that person left something out, it's like too bad, so sad. So I think that's when people write their agreements, they're trying to cover their butt, CYA, the whole way through. So they write them very stringently. What we've decided and what we've since identified is that we could have done a better job to protect ourselves by redlining the agreements and the sections. And it's not like we'd have to do a lot. But when there's no way to get out of it, there's termination clause that is in favor of the person you're purchasing from, but not in favor of you. Contracts, we want them to be kind of a win-win. And you can't expect that someone's going to give you everything you ask for. But I think that part of it is doing that, coming back and finding out what will they do for you.
I think another important part of that too is having someone, you know, having a company that wants to have the conversation with you. You know, like a lot of times, like when we have one-on-one coaching clients, we always have a conversation, right? Before any agreement is signed, and we want to be there to answer any questions. And we were not given that opportunity in either case. And I think we also, I don't know if it's because we're women or if it's because of the generation that we're in, that we feel like, well, we just, you know, it's a take it or leave it situation, right? Yeah. It's like, if you want the service, then this is the deal. And I think we need to always feel like we have the option to question it.
Yeah.
And we can't get into FOMO. And I think that's another thing, Carmen. Like, I think a lot of times we get into FOMO, right? Because we are so excited to join this and we want to do this so bad. And then we feel like, oh, well, if I rock the boat, or if I say, you know, I don't like this, or if I question anything, they're not going to take me on, right? As a client, and I'll miss out on the whole thing. And I think that companies should make prospects feel welcome to have the conversation about it as well.
Yeah. And I think that brings up a good point is when you're looking at an agreement and you should read them, if you absolutely glaze over and can't understand the terminology, because it's definitely not written in layman's terms, I would highly recommend having an attorney that reviews agreements for you. But feel free, if there's something like my biggest takeaway is in the last one, well, both of them, there was no way for us to get out of it. It was like, you sign it, you're in, there's no way out. So the termination and the last one is what I remember the most. There was a termination clause for the people providing the service. Like, if we didn't do something, if we didn't do our part, they could terminate. But there should be a reciprocal clause that says, well, if they don't do their part, because for 4 months, when you're paying for a year's service and 4 months of that goes by, and you aren't getting what you want. I mean, that's a third of your time. And we kept saying this to our representative, like, it's been this many months. It's been this many months. And every time there was a different reason why things hadn't gone. And it's like, okay, well, this is not working anymore. So when you see something in an agreement that you think seems too harsh, feel free to bring that back. Say, hey, I looked through your agreement. First of all, it shows that you're a savvy business owner, that you're looking through an agreement to protect yourself and your business, right? That is what it's for. And it doesn't have to be that take it or leave it thing. And I think that's exactly right. What you said, Deirdre, is we fall into this thing, like we get all excited about what this product, service, coaching program, whatever it is supposed to deliver, that we're like, ooh, let's just do it. Let's just do it. We've got the money. Let's do it. You know, but that we can't do that because we're projecting what we hope that product or service is going to do for us. We don't know because we haven't gotten in there. And so I think, you know, maybe it took us these two times to get, you know, to bump up against resistance and to have these kind of experiences to realize that we need to be a little bit more active and engaged in the process before we even decide to sign the contract.
And, you know, I want to talk about this from an entrepreneurial perspective, because I know that most of you listening to us, you are service-based business owners. You could be a coach, or you could be a consultant, or you might just be providing a service. And each one of those businesses, when it comes to contracts, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Now, coaching, for example, when we're talking about hiring a coach, that's not as easy to define the result as a service. Like, let's say you're a website designer. Well, you can say, I am going to build you a website with X many pages and, you know, with all of these things by this time frame. Like, it's much more definable. And I think we have to take that into consideration, both as the customer of the service we're hiring, but also it's something to think about for your clients and look at your contracts and kind of put yourself in their shoes. And would you sign the contract that you are giving to your clients? And I know Carmen and I, we have revised our, we have a contract. We believe that they're important and they're necessary because they set up, you know, expectations. What can you expect from us? And what can we expect from you? And then we're all in agreement on that. And it avoids problems later with assumption. But we also, I know we've revised ours a few times because we are always looking at it like, you know, is this equitable for all parties involved? Does it protect us, but does it also protect them? And of course, we always have had a policy of open communication, and we communicate a lot with our prospects and our clients, and we're always willing to work things out so that it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a good point. I think the bottom line with this is that, you know, don't think that you have to take what somebody says that you have to take. You know, try to separate ourselves. We always talk about the CEO mindset and how it allows you to, when we look at data and we look at the facts, it removes the emotion. And usually in our case, anyway, in these two instances, we were so excited about what the possible outcome could be that we wanted it so bad. And we wanted to, will they take us? Can we get in on this cohort? Can we get in ASAP to get that result? We were more focused on that than stepping back, putting on that CEO mindset hat and looking at things in a way that would have possibly, and we can't guarantee, that's the other thing. You can't guarantee, even if we had done all those things that we think we should do, like review the contract, send red lines, ask questions, who knows what it would have happened. We only know what did happen. And so you can't know 100% ahead of time, but you can do the best that you can to engage and be part of the process and not just be accepting of what they give you. That's not really how business works. That's more an online space. Like if you go into business and corporate, they're sending contracts back and forth. And I'm not saying to get all litigious or send contracts back and forth or redline everything or be ridiculous about it. But the fact of the matter is you're entering into an agreement. It's not like, here's what I say you will pay me and that's the end of it. It's my way or the highway. That might happen, but is that what you want to accept? And if that's how they approach it before you ever sign an agreement, then that's a red flag. So we're kind of trying to bring this to the forefront of, let's become better consumers, better educated, and do our due diligence in different ways than we maybe have up to this point.
Yeah. And like Carmen said, there's no guarantees, right? You can do it all right.
Yeah.
You can cross the T's, dot the I's, and still end up with a program or working with someone. And it just isn't what you thought it was going to be. It's not giving you what you need or what you thought. And these situations, when we get into them, they are very frustrating. They're very disappointing. And it becomes very easy. And I know we could have done it too. It would have been very easy for us to just throw a fit about the whole thing. I think we did throw a like mini fit here and there about it, but only with each other.
Yeah.
We could blame them and we could have just checked out and said, that's it. You know, this is, you know, we can't get out of it, but, you know, we're just not going to do this because, you know, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. But we chose not to do that. Mm-hmm. And what we did is we made the best of a not so ideal situation and we got what we could out of it. Mm-hmm. And that is what resilience is all about. And it's about finding a way, even when the way has obstacles and challenges. And this is the first of a series we're doing in the podcast. We're doing a resilient, we're calling it the resiliency series, because being resilient is paramount of importance when it comes to building your business. And there are so many things that will test us, right? And so when we build that resilience, that's when we can, you know, despite adversity, we can still come out on top. And what resilience is, at least for us, what we found it to be, it's about finding a way, even when that way has obstacles and challenges. And taking the resilient path, it will sharpen your mindset and it will strengthen your skills as an entrepreneur. And ultimately, that's what will add to the strong foundation of your business.
Yeah. And, you know, we, because we approached it that way after we threw our little fits amongst ourselves, we got value out of both situations, not just the lesson learned, but we learned things. It's not like, we're not saying we know everything and, you know, you can't learn anything. We can't be taught. We got value out of both situations because we didn't let our disappointment overshadow everything. We didn't say, okay, they suck. This isn't what we thought. So forget it. We're not even going to try. I mean, that's giving up and that's not being professional or resilient. And you need all that stuff as an entrepreneur. It's these experiences and how you handle it. Like, how do you handle what life throws at you? It's how you handle what life throws at you, or how you handle these obstacles that define who you are and your capacity to overcome things. And there's always a silver lining if you look for it. So we encourage you to do that. And so inside of our great hall of free resources, we have a lesson called Business Coaching Programs, What to Look For. And this gives you questions to ask yourself and questions to ask the person or company you're considering hiring. And it also links to our podcast episode number 10 of the same name, and that covers the topic in detail. So head over to EncoreEmpire.com/free to get into the Great Hall of Free Resources, and then look for Business Coaching Programs, What to Look For. And that will help guide you should you encounter something like this, or it'll help you avoid this kind of thing in the future. But like Deirdre said, there are no guarantees, right? So
thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Encore Entrepreneur. Can you do us a favor? It will help us if you would please subscribe to the show, leave a review, and share it with your friends.
Our goal with this podcast is to bring you the real talk about how to be successful without compromising your values, and we need your help to spread the word.